morning and welcome to Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 72nd episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. If you are tuning in for the first time, Fiber Hooligan is a podcast hosted by yours truly and dedicated to bringing you interviews with the best of the fiber arts world, including experts and designers in the crafts of knitting, crochet, spinning, weaving, as well as anything else that I think is interesting. I want to make sure that I thank the good folks over at Prime Publishing. Prime Publishing is the exclusive media sponsor for Fiber Hooligan. And this show is brought to you by AllFreeKnitting.com, your source for great knitting patterns. If you haven't checked them out yet, please head on over to AllFreeKnitting.com to get in on the fun. I want to welcome the new listeners today. Thank you for tuning in and trying out the show. I hope you enjoy it. I can't wait for us to get to know each other better. And of course, I'd like to welcome back our regular Fiber Hooligan listeners. Your ongoing support means so very much to me. Okay, today we have a very special guest, somebody that I'm pretty darn fond of. She considers herself foremost a colorist and dyer. She is also the owner of Blue Moon Fiber Arts, which will be 14 years old this year. She brings to the yarn world a wealth of fiber knowledge that she has collected through her experiences running Blue Moon and her successful sock club, the Rockin' Sock Club. As she describes it, her fiber love affair began as soon as she sat down in front of a spinning wheel with a handful of wool. Soon after, she began dyeing her own roving and discovered not only a talent, but a red-hot passion. Then she began translating her color inspiration and theory from her own hand-spun into mill-spun yarns. Blue Moon Fiber Arts was born, and her world exploded. She has a fertile imagination and the practical creativity to support it. Her energy is contagious and inspiring. Community has always been an important factor in her life and work. Whether through events, yarn, or teaching, she loves sharing her vision and working with others to spread the love of fiber, yarn, knitting, spinning, and dyeing. I am speaking, of course, of my good friend Tina Newton. Tina joins us this morning from Scappoose, Oregon. How are you doing today, Tina?
I'm great. How are you, Benjamin?
I'm very, very well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's always odd to hear that name, Scappoose, Oregon.
Well, yeah, and folks, you just didn't hear it, but I had to ask her how to pronounce it so I didn't sound ridiculous to all of Tina's friends. But because as you know, Tina, I don't need help looking ridiculous. I can manage that on my own. And so
it's one of the things we share in common.
Yeah, but you're cooler than I am, and we'll get to that a little bit. It's great to have you on the show, and it's been far too long. We've always kept going, oh, we've got to have you on the show. We talk, and it's like, we've got to have you on the show, and finally I just kind of made it happen, which is great. I can't wait to.
I appreciate it.
No, can't wait to share you with the world, because you're pretty great. And I'll be going on more and more and being essentially a fanboy of Tina's the entire episode, so you guys better get used to this right now. Yeah, well, you need to get over it, folks.
All right.
So before we get into the interview, how are things out in Oregon?
We actually are waiting on a big storm. They announced it yesterday. They're supposed to be down by the coast, which we're not far from, 80 to 90 mile an hour winds and buckets of rain. So we're battening down the hatches. Although I do have to tell you that the last time they predicted a big storm, they predicted, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, they predicted snow, which I get up here because I'm up high, but in Portland, we don't get very much, so we don't have the infrastructure for it. But they predicted the snow and ice, and the schools shut down, and everything shut down in Portland for the most part. People stayed home, and nothing happened. Not a drop.
Not a drop.
Not a drop.
Not a drop. Haven't you ever thought it would be great, and I'm not casting aspersions, but wouldn't it be great to be a weatherman? Because it seems like you don't have to have a high success rate in order to keep that job.
Right?
Yeah, right?
Yes. I mean, yes, we just keep... Yeah, it's true. I actually hadn't really thought about it that way. And we keep believing them.
Although I think they're all being replaced now with weather apps, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah, but I have still, one.
Oh, I have four, I think. I can't. Well, you know what? Okay, so not something you know about me. And I'm not picking on my dear wife. But my dear wife is obsessed with the weather. And she has the Weather Channel on. And she's always checking the weather. And I had a weather app, and I think my daughter had a weather app, and my wife Krista had a weather app, and we realized we were all using different weather apps, and we were comparing, well, this one says this, and I went, oh my goodness. And so I just downloaded the other two and now check all three to see which version of the weather I'm going to get. I know this seems like terribly counterproductive, but it's just kind of the way that I deal with the world in a kind of a counterproductive way, as you well know. But
Hey,
anyway,
weather is
and
exciting stuff.
weather, you know, it is, but I always think that weather kind of happens, you know, and you know, I have a couple of rules. I try to not go out when it's really, really cold, and you know, I try not to go out when it's really, really hot, and otherwise, you know,
Right?
I try
Yeah,
not to go out.
because it's going to happen without us.
Yeah, it really is. It is absolutely. Okay, folks, we're not going to bore you with the weather, I promise. That's not where we're always going for this. But, you know, my mind takes these little divergent trips, and so
Yeah.
bear with me. So let's get right into the interview, Tina. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a fairly boilerplate question. I've asked it most of my guests, not all, but most. And so I'll ask it of you, Tina Newton. Who are you and where did you come from?
Who am I? Oh, that age-old question, who am I? I'm still working on the who am I. I feel that's a lifelong process. And where I come from, I actually come from a little town on the East Coast called Cabin John, Maryland, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. And on the C&O Canal, like the C&O Canal and the Potomac River were our playground, which was great fun. From just, you know, your regular working class family. You know, my dream answer to this question, Benjamin, is they found me under a rock. Or, you know, I always wanted to be Thumbelina. Like I was just in a little flower. But nonetheless, that is not true. I came the way we all do. You know, just your regular public school, all that stuff. I worked for many, many years as a therapist. I worked with women who were victims of violence, usually domestic violence. So pretty heavy stuff for a long time, and I got burnt out. And my kid, when, it was mostly when I had my kids. So I decided to take a break from that when my kids were little and stay with them. And I took a bunch of classes because I always wanted to. I think my dream, my mother was an artist. She didn't do a ton of it, but she was a really great painter. And it was that always appealed to me, but I never really did anything about it. And so I took this opportunity to just take a whole bunch of classes. So I think I was, I don't know, in my late 30s when this happened. And it was great fun. Like I took beading classes and doll making classes. And if it was artsy, I did it. And I enjoyed most of them, except for I didn't enjoy the pottery so much, which really surprised me because I feel like I'm kind of an earthy person. But I just didn't. I didn't like getting the clay in my fingernails. And I also, I'm not good at balance, just in general in life. Like I'm one of those people that fall or tilt, and I could not balance a pot on that wheel to save my soul. So I gave that one up. But what the life-changing event, in relationship to all of that was that I happened across what used to be one of the few yarn stores in Portland, Northwest Wools, and decided to walk in. And there was a woman sitting there crocheting on a really huge, the biggest crochet hook I've ever seen in my life, a rug. And I was just intrigued. I looked around, trying not to stare at her, and she said, she goes, "Would you like to try it?" And I said, "Oh no, I can't do that. I couldn't possibly do that." And she insisted, which thank God she did. And I sat down and crocheted a couple of stitches, and she taught me to crochet and knit and spin, and I fell headfirst into everything textile and fiber related from that moment on.
And so that's how it started.
That's how it all started. Gina, my friend Gina. Yes. It was really interesting because I'm left-handed, and all my female relatives either knit or crocheted, and they'd often hang out and do that together. And I desperately wanted to knit Benjamin when I was little. Like, I have very clear memories of this. And none of them would teach me. Not a soul. They're like, you can't do it. And none of them said what I now know to be true, is that you're left-handed and we're not, and we can't figure out how to teach you to do this. And because you know, these women that I trusted told me I couldn't do something, I believed them. Like, it never even occurred to me to teach myself. Because Gina asked me that. She goes, why didn't you just try to figure it out yourself? It's like, because they said I couldn't. Which, you know me pretty well. Does that surprise you that I bought that one?
It does. It surprises me a lot. I you know, you're that doesn't sound like you would take that from anybody.
I know, but it did. I think because my grandmother was involved, I worshipped her. And I think if she hadn't been involved, I would have proved them wrong. But Winnie said it, so it must have been true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you make a good point, because you're somebody that's pretty persistent. I wouldn't say stubborn, but I would say that you wouldn't back down. No, I really wouldn't, because I think that you're smart enough to be able to put your ego aside at times and do the smart thing, as opposed mm-hmm. to, you know, the thing that, you know, that, but we'll get into a little more of that. But yeah, no, it does surprise me that somebody could tell you that you couldn't do something, and that's one you take. That's one I, yeah. Because I don't think that would happen today, that somebody told you you couldn't
do
something.
No, it wouldn't.
No. All right. So from the time that you learned, what was the evolution of moving toward your business?
The evolution. So I just did it for a while for myself. You know, like, I crocheted for a little while, but it didn't speak to me. I'm not going to say I didn't like it, but it just didn't grab me. The knitting definitely did. And I was just tickled beyond belief that I could knit. You know, I was like, I wanted to call both my mother and my grandmother and go, nah, nah, nah. Like, but I didn't. I actually sent my mother my first knitted thing with a little note that said, nah, nah, nah. I am that small. And at the time, Northwest Floral had a back room that had all the spinning stuff in it. And I was watching a woman at the spinning wheel. I was like, wow, that's exciting. And, so there was a spinning class, a couple of weeks from then. So I decided to take it. It wasn't one of my better moments. That class, it turns out, even though it was billed as a beginning class, it wasn't. I was the only beginner. And so everybody else there is spinning away. Well, you know, they've been doing it for years, and I can barely get the thing to go. And I certainly can't get it to go. It's like riding a bicycle, you know? And I couldn't get the pedals moving and keep the wool drafting in. And that I was so frustrated by the process that the teacher made me leave the room and took a walk. But I was bound and determined. So I took a week and, you know, took it home, and we became friends. And we have been best friends ever since. I love spinning. Spinning was just huge. That was, lights went off. You know, I felt connected to every soul that has ever spun, ever. And, it just, you know, that was it for me. And the idea of making yarn was really exciting. I still actually have the first yarn that I made. And I know most spinners hate their first yarn, but I love mine. Like, it's all rustic and, you know, fat in one place and thin in another, and has a couple corkscrews in it. It's lovely. So for a while, I just did it for myself. After that, I spun. But I wasn't happy with what there was, what I was finding for spinning. So I decided that I would try my hand at dyeing for myself. And And that was the bigger rabbit hole for me. Like, I fell headfirst. I took a dye class and was, you know, it was is exciting and alluring to me as the spinning, actually, more. And then I started, you know, dyeing and spinning. And for a while, that's all I did, you know, was that part. So we were vacationing in Port Townsend, which we did every summer, and I had my basket with me of some of my roving and yarn, and the local yarn store owner was walking her dog down there, and she stopped me, and she asked me, she goes, "Is this yours?" And I said, "Yes." And we got to talking, and she offered me what was at the time an obscene amount of money for it and told me who she was. And I was sitting there looking at her and thinking, well, I can make more. Like, sure. And so I sold it to her. And then a week later, she called and wanted twice as much. And that's what started it. That moment right there. The Twisted U in Port Townsend, Washington. And for a long time, I sold just my hand spun and my hand painted rovings. I think for like 2 years, to certain yarn stores and at shows, like not even online. And then I decided to branch out. Like, I had been making yarn, and I decided that I would like to try my hand at having some of my yarn ideas milled and then dyeing that myself. And so I branched out into that area. And for a while, it was still me. Like, I did all the dyeing. It took me about 4 years to figure out how I could teach somebody else. I mean, mostly let somebody else in my head in order to teach them to dye the way I did. Not that it's rocket science, but, you know. And so I found a cook. I decided that recipes were the best way to do it. And it went from there, one step at a time. Like, I went very slowly and thought through every process right before, made sure I was ready for it before I jumped in with both feet.
And thus, Blue Moon Fiber Arts was born. Can I ask where the name was inspired from?
Well, one of my favorite songs is Once in a Blue Moon, Once in a Very Blue Moon. And actually, that's what I wanted to call the company. But I have a marketing friend, and she said no. She said no. And I was like, really? She goes, yeah, no. She goes, there's nothing in the title that tells people what it is. Like, it's, you know, this is all artsy you, and it needs to be a little more practical than that. So.
And again, you were told something again that you went, okay, really? The more I hear about these
point.
Things, well, it's, yeah, I know this is the smart side of you, that this is why you're not stubborn.
Yeah.
You just,
well,
you know.
And she said she was, take the essence of it, like a blue moon, you know, like a blue moon is, everybody knows what it is. You don't need to have the whole line there. So, yeah.
Right. So, you know, your business is growing. And what was that sort of landmark moment where it really, really took hold and took off? What was the big thing that happened for you?
The big thing was my sock yarn.
Yes, that's what I was hoping you'd get to, yes.
Yeah, Socks That Rock. It was a very big deal. And then building our first website, which was teeny tiny. It was just a little PayPal website. And getting it out into the world, that was huge. That was really huge. I mean, it was huge in many ways. It was huge for me as a businesswoman because I basically had to bribe the mill to make it, because it was a very tightly spun and plied yarn, and they told me that it couldn't be done. And it was harder for them to do on their machinery than it certainly was for me to do on my mill, but they finally did it. And so that right there was, it took way longer than I thought it would. And I've actually, for the first couple of years, would have to send it back occasionally because it wasn't, like, it still wasn't up to spec. So there was that. It was Socks That Rock that did it. It was that yarn. It's a really great yarn.
It's a really great yarn. I remember when I first came back to the industry, I was at a Stitches West. It was about 9 years ago. I was at a Stitches West, and on Thursday night, your crew had set up and they had put out Socks That Rocks, and there was just this line. They just could not consume it fast enough. I mean, I remember thinking at the time, And you and I didn't really know each other at that point.
No.
I was lucky enough to get to know you later, and it's been pretty wonderful for me. You know, folks, Tina's somebody that I lean on a little bit for advice because she knows everything. And she's smart.
That is not true, Benjamin.
Well, she's still smart, and she's.
I'll cop to being smart. I do not know everything.
and she's a human being too. That'll actually. We won't get into that. But she's smart. She's really smart. But I remember thinking at the time, wow, that was just incredible. The draw that it had there.
Well, and it was limited. Like, we only had so much yarn. We're teeny, teeny, tiny. There was only so much we could dye at a time. So there was only so much we could take places and put on the website and sell to yarn stores. So it was, you know, getting it wasn't the easiest thing.
So when I think about you, I think, of course, of the many facets that you are. I think, you know, funny friend, realist, somebody that's smart about things. But I also know that, you know, you're a colorist, an artist. And you're still trying to run a small business as well that's, you know, pretty dynamic. Do you find that your days are taking up doing more admin than you want and that you find yourself missing? Do you? Okay.
Yes.
Didn't have to ask that question very long. Yes.
Yes. Yes, of course. Yeah, most definitely. And it's something that I've been working towards changing. I mean, I've changed my business model and let go of some things because of that, because I did find myself mostly sitting at a desk and realizing that I was becoming more and more unhappy and not doing what fulfilled me. Because I do enjoy the business part. I really enjoy marketing. There's a lot of running Blue Moon that I enjoy that I feel like I'm pretty good at and some that I didn't feel like I'm not. The color and the making of yarn and working, you know, to get designs and market them and themes and all that, I love. I really just love. I love color, which was surprising to me when I discovered that I was good at it and really just had a thing for it, because it wasn't true until I hit a dye pot. I mean, not anything that I knew about. Like, I mean, I certainly liked coloring as a kid, but in most of my adult life, I wore black. Like, you know, I wasn't flamboyant with color in my life. But in my art, most definitely.
Okay. Well, as you know me, I have no color sense whatsoever. You know, I'm a boring dresser. That's been commented on many times, folks, and you're just going to have to live with it. What I bring to the world is my voice, folks. That's all you're going to get from me, really.
It truly
honest.
Is.
Yes, that's all I bring to the
it
world.
It is a great voice.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. See, that was me fishing, and she picked it right up. You're so sweet, Tina. All right. So, but, you know, this is a hard thing. I mean, you're doing the business thing. You're doing the artist thing. You're raising three kids. I mean, you're a mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a full-time job, you know. How did you find the balance?
Not easily at times, you know, and I'm sure my kids will be the first to tell you. Like, my son's experience of me and my youngest daughter is very different, you know, because when he was younger, I was more available. And when she was at her youngest, I was, like, that was when I started running Blue Moon, so... So it's a very different experience for all three of them. It, you know, you juggle it. You know this. You have kids.
I do.
You know?
I do.
You juggle it. The hard part, I mean, the family and business juggling has been a little bit easier for me than the juggling within my business of the different parts that it needs from me. Like, I do find myself with a tendency to push, like, you know, I'm supposed to be doing spring colorways and getting them out right now, and that means being in that dye barn for days, you know, going through it, and I keep pushing it back because, well, I have to balance this, and I have to put this ad out and do this and do this and do this, and I'm working on not doing that as much. Like, I have a mission of, like, whether I need new colors or not, just going out and playing with color and playing with dye.
I think that's got to be good for you.
Well, because it feeds me. It is my passion. I'm very passionate about it. I am driven by it. And, I mean, it feeds the other part, too. Like, it makes it easier for me to sit and balance the books or, you know, put an ad out, or, like, I get more excited about it if I really remember that that's why I'm here. You know, I was thinking about this recently. I think you and I talked about it also, is I was doing some of our customer service, answering emails, and I had gotten an email from a woman who was just so happy with the yarn that she got. It was some of our garment yarn, and she was just, it was the perfect color for her, and we had helped her pick that out and all that. And I've known this all along, but it really hit me on another level that I feel so lucky in my job that I get to make people happy. Like, what I do makes people happy. It makes knitters happy, and it's a great thing. Like, it makes me feel like a very lucky woman.
Well, I think you are lucky. I think that luck that's brought in by you. First of all, you're good at your job and you're gracious. I mean, I have a feeling that I'm not the only person that bends your ear when they're having issues and things like that. I think you end up being a therapist to a lot of us out there, and everybody is a, you know, holds you in such high esteem, Tina. And I think part of that is, you know, you're interesting. You're also a little quirky. I've got a note here that says, besides chickens, she has a thing for fire trucks. Okay, chickens
she
and fire
does.
Trucks. Chickens and fire trucks.
And chickens and fire trucks. It sounds like a country song.
It's but the fact that you put that on your bio online, I just thought was wonderful. I just think that's just so you.
Well, my father was a fireman. He was a fireman for years and years and years, and so I grew up with it. And so it's like a playground, you know? And then after he did that, he also sold them. Like, he had actually, I think, until recently. And I learned to drive a fire truck, which I think is very exciting and gives me all kinds of cred once people hear that story. But my best story, as you know, like, I feel like it's one of my best stories, just hands down, is that in my late teens, my friend Nikki and Louise and I maybe had a little bit too much to drink one night and decided to liberate one of the fire trucks for a joyride, which was great fun until Louise decided that pushing the button on the front would be really exciting. Unfortunately, that button was the siren. So we got caught.
We got caught.
And I'm from a small town, like, everybody knows everybody. So we got caught by the local policeman, who gave me the choice of going in or calling my dad. And I chose going in, and damn him, he still called my father.
Oh, well. That's a great story, and this part of you doesn't surprise me, because you're just fun, you know. And I could see you, you know, that with the Devil May Care.
It was great fun.
I bet it was. I bet it was
it
a
was
lot of
great fun.
Fun.
Yes.
But the chickens. See, now I have my weird little things too. I have a thing, and folks, this is going to sound strange. I have this thing where I'm enamored by grain elevators. Okay,
they're
I know
cool.
That they are really cool, right? And they represent
yes.
commerce and cooperation within a small agricultural community. I have this thing about grain elevators, and I always stop and I look at them, and, you know, and say, oh, it's just that grain elevator over there, and, you know, how much do you think that can hold? And my family rolls their eyes at me all the time. So I get these little things. I really do get these little things that are part of our own little quirkiness. But okay.
Yeah.
So in the past year, you have really refocused and done some things to make your life a little simpler, and I know that there have been some challenges in your life, and
yes.
I'm not sure that everybody knows about that, and I'm wondering, do you feel up to talking about it on this show?
Sure. Yeah. So this past March, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and quite honestly, it wasn't I don't want to say it wasn't a surprise. My mother's had it twice. My sister has it. You know, so when that's true, it's always there in the back of your mind. And I'm the oldest, so the chances were pretty high. So, and so I have spent this year, they did a bunch of hormone therapy, which brought it down quite a bit. And so then I opted, because of the genetic aspect of this, because I do have the gene, which means that all three of my children run a 60 to 70% chance of contracting this also. I had a bilateral mastectomy in July, and I have been in chemo since August. And I'm actually 3/4 of the way through chemo, and then I think I'm second week in January, I'm done with chemo, and then I start 6 weeks of radiation therapy. I have opted for the radical approach. I'm also doing all kinds of other stuff. Like, I have a naturopathic oncologist, I have an acupuncturist, I'm doing, you know, all kinds of things, and lots of support. The prognosis is really great. And I, for the most part, feel good. I have my moments, for sure. I'm bald, and I'm very, can't tell you, Benjamin, how disappointed I am that I do not have an attractive bald head, and I really don't.
There's a couple of hats that you can wear. You got to be careful wearing the one hat.
Yeah, I was careful. Well, and I actually am going to do a blog post on my Blue Moon blog, because I've been sent just a ton of lovely hats. But I have a few favorites for sure. One of them has horns. That is by far my favorite. And the other has those googly eyes on it. And it's a fake fur hat. Like, it's, I love green. Green's one of my favorite colors. And the dirtier the green, the better. And I have a green that I came up with years ago called pond scum, and it really looks like pond scum. And a friend of mine made me a hat out of fun fur, pond scum fun fur with googly eyes, and it's like the best thing ever. I love it. So,
you know, I one of the things that I've been educated to by you is, and I probably knew this, but I just never clicked into me, is how long those sessions, those chemo sessions are. I mean, they're just
hours.
Yeah,
they're long.
They're really long.
They're really long.
I mean, I remember texting you one time and saying, you said, I've been here about this long and I only have this much. And I go, well, that's hours and hours.
It's hours. It is.
That you just have to sit there. And I know you, you're not good at sitting still.
Well, let me tell you, when they're pumping that stuff into you, you are. Yeah, because they give you, like they have this down. Like, they have this down. They're really good at their jobs. And they give you all kinds of meds to go with the drug to, you know, help you assimilate it. And so they're anti-nausea meds. There's the drug that I'm on now. Is the reaction that people can have is an allergic histamine reaction. So they give me Benadryl. So when I first go in, I get Benadryl, which then I almost fall asleep. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm almost out. And if you could see me now, I'm mimicking this for you. and then
it's not a visual show, Tina, but I really appreciate
sorry.
That. It's okay.
and then when the Benadryl runs out, and I'm really sensitive to Benadryl, so I'm like almost out. Then they give me 10 milligrams of a steroid. And so it takes about, I don't know, 10 seconds. And then it's like, I have friends who come with me. I'm very lucky. I'm like, I have chemo buddies that take me to chemo and hang out with me and take me to have pie afterwards. And just, but my friend Gail, who's been doing this for me a lot, she goes, it's really great to watch because you're down, you're almost out, and then boom, you're back up and wide-eyed. So, yeah, it's a process, you know, and I have to tell you, I've met some really extraordinary people, just extraordinary, strong, brave, beautiful human beings.
That sounds like you, actually, but we will... you know, and I think those people who know you would say the same thing. So it's going well. You're managing to
it
get
is.
Through it, and
it's going well.
good. Good. Yeah,
It
because when
sounds
you
like it, right? Like I sound good.
Sound really great. You do, and you sound upbeat, and you've sounded upbeat the last couple times we talked too.
I am. I've had two low moments, and I'm slightly embarrassed to say that one of them was when my hair started falling out, because I thought I'd be okay with it. But it's very different. I mean, it's just like anything, you know, thinking about what could happen and then actually going through it are very different things. And just the act of reaching up to scratch my head and coming down with a handful of hair, that was pretty traumatic. That was like, oh my God. I was like, this is what this is doing to my body.
Yeah, and I remember Pam talking to me too. It's, it also can hurt.
Yes, it can. Yes, the first round of chemo actually hurt. It hurts going in. It was hot. It was not pleasant. But that first 8 weeks was interesting.
Well, but the good news is you're going to live forever, and we'll have you in our world forever.
I
That's
actually didn't sign up for that one.
well, we'll
I'm
talk.
not. Anna and I've agreed that between 70 and 80 is good.
You're talking about Anna Zilberg?
I am,
Okay.
yeah, and I'll take that.
Okay. All right. Well,
That works for me.
just longer though. We're
Yeah,
not done. We're not done with you yet.
I'm not done. I have
Okay.
stuff to
Good.
do. I'm
Good.
not
Good.
done.
Good. That's right.
Not by far.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move over into back to your business for a few minutes, because one of the great reasons that I want to have you on the show is that, besides being your company being, I think it's 14 years old this year,
It
you
is.
got an anniversary for the Rock and Sock Club.
I do. It's 10 years old this year, 2015. We are 10 years old.
And we're talking, folks, about pretty much. If it's not the most successful, it's one of the most successful sock clubs ever put on by the industry. I mean, this is a well-known club.
Yes. Well, we were the first.
Yes.
Yeah, we were the first to do it. We certainly were the first to do it the way we did it. Like, we really wanted it to be a club, and have that feel. I mean, not just, I mean, to, have like t-shirts and bumper stickers and games and themes and silly names, and all of that, which we most definitely have done. Yeah, like when we started out, we had this, we were talking, you know how you do late into the night about, wouldn't it be great if we did this? And because we were finding ways of getting the sock yarn out, that worked for us as well as, for our customer base and making it fun. And so we decided, I remember we decided that we could do, and I had hired my first dyer, and like I think a month before we announced this. And so I was still training her and still figuring out how to train her. And we decided we could do 300. And it was our first stitches, actually. So we announced it online, and we said we only have so many, and we're going to, this is what we'll do. And we opened it up on our little PayPal website, and then also Casey and Deborah took postcards to Stitches West, and it was hours, like it was up hours, and it was full. And I called Casey about the same moment she was calling me and said, pull the postcards, stop the presses. We are full. We cannot do anymore. And then we figured out how to do it, like, because it was a first for us, and decided 6 months later that we could add 300 more, which we did. Actually, 3 months later, we decided we could add 300 more, which we did. And so we ship it out every other month, and you get a skein of exclusive colorway. And this year, usually the colorways are available the following year to everybody. But this year, since it's such a special year for us, and we're pretty proud to still be here 10 years later, all the colorways that we do for this year are exclusive only to this year. That's if you, they won't be available any other time. And you get two patterns. You get a sock pattern. When we first started, it was just a sock pattern, but now we send out a sock pattern and an accessory pattern. And you get different kinds of swag, not a ton of it. This year we're adding a little bit more because it's a special year, because we're really big on it being about the knitting and color. And then we have Dyer's Notes that I write that talk about the theme and why we chose it and how the color plays with, you know, why we chose this colorway for this pattern and how it plays and what was the inspiration. And I talk about color and color history sometimes and chickens and maybe even a fire truck.
Fire truck or two, yes. Okay.
Right? And we have a blog and a forum and a Rav group and big community. Like, we play games and have contests, you know, and a lot of the members in the Sock Club have been members since the very beginning. Like, we have people that have been with us for 9 and 10 years, which is very exciting for me. Like, I know these people. They're my friends.
Right. It's very exciting. And, you know, and is there still room to get in on
there
the
is.
Sock Club? There is. And
there
so
is.
To do that, I would send the Fiber Hooligans up to bluemoonfiberarts.com, right?
Mm-hmm. And okay. There's also rockandsockclub.com. Right now, what we have available, all the information is up there, and we have gift certificates available for purchase for the holidays. And then on January 6th, it opens up for regular signups.
Well, very cool. Very cool. So
yeah,
Fiber Hooligans,
very
you should get
exciting.
Into this. Yeah, you should get in on this because, you know,
it's
if
fun.
It's
we have a
well,
blast.
Yeah. Well, anything you do is fun. You're good at the. You're good at keeping the fun in things.
Yeah, thank you.
It's sort of better.
I try. I try.
You do a good job. You do a very good job. So, well, that's very exciting. And congratulations, 10 years for a program is a long time. I mean, that's
a long time
for a company anymore, but
yeah.
For a single program, that's amazing. And I understand that it's not just a single program. It's evolved, and you kept it fresh and keep doing new things with it. So,
we've done sock camps. I mean, actually, without the Sock Club, there wouldn't be a sock clamp. There wouldn't have been a sock summit. Like, there were all this stuff evolved from this club. Like, a lot has evolved from this club.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. I just, kudos. I think I even understand that there's a story about a bank being involved in this.
Yeah, there was. I think it was the second or third year. I'm going to go with second. Yes, there was. There was a bank. Craziness, actually. It was just amazing. So it grew fast. I mean, it was a huge deal, and people waited. Like, it took our system down a couple times. The signups, like, we had to, I remember that was where I learned about servers and you had to have a certain kind of server to, you know, make sure the load worked or otherwise it would bring it all down. And so we had to work with that. But this one year, we had just about, I think it was over 2,000 signups in a very short period of time. Like, I want to say 24 hours. And we got a phone call. I got a phone call from the merchant services division of my bank saying, what's going on? Like, why is this happening? And, you know, and I explained it to them, which I had actually already done. But I explained it to them again. And they said, well, we don't buy it. We think this is fraud, that you're running a scam. And they shut us down. They shut us down. They refunded all those knitters their money and gave me a fair amount of gray hairs. No, it was one of the most terrifying business moments of my life. Like, I mean, maybe just moments. So when you take the business out of it, it was terrifying. And then, you know, after we recovered from the shock of it all and honestly had a good cry, then all of our blogger friends blogged about it, which was really great, and got the word out that way. And then we camped out at my house for weeks, emailing everybody, calling people, telling them what happened, explaining it. And this was one, I mean, I knew knitters were pretty awesome because I'd had enough experience with it already. But this was the crowning glory because every single one of those knitters signed up again and more. Like, they had no issue with it. They were wonderful, as was PayPal, by the way, because I had to find someone to take the money, and I called PayPal, and they said, we'll happily take your money. They had no issue with it whatsoever. They thought it was hysterical.
Did you ever get any satisfaction from your merchant card user, or you just said goodbye to them, really?
No. Well, and my bank went after them. Because it wasn't, like, everybody wanted me to give the bank name out so that they, like it was a big deal. We had, like, news crews and people calling all the time. Like, it was a really big deal. But it wasn't my bank's fault. It was the merchant service company.
Right.
And my bank actually did fight on my behalf, which was really nice. And finally, I could have sued them, sure. I could have gone after them, but why? I mean, they're a big merchant service company. I'm a little dire. It's not how I want to spend my time or my energy, you know? I didn't think I was really going to get anything out of it. And I already, like, what a beautiful thing that was.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it all worked out for the best. But again, I would be there right with you, feeling that pressure and that, like, oh my goodness, you know, and worrying about all that kind of stuff.
It was so stressful. It was amazingly stressful. But it did, I mean, I learned a lot business-wise. And the woman was scary. Like, she did her job well, I'll tell you. She was like a bank cop or a merchant service cop. So it was very interesting. But those knitters, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, I feel lucky in my job that I get to make people happy, but I also feel lucky, you know, that I get to work with these people, like whether they're, like, I get to work with knitters, you know, whether they're designers or dyers or fiber hooligans or whatever, I get to work with all these extraordinary people.
Well, I think they feel pretty lucky to be able to work with you too. So I know that I do. And, you know, in case I haven't said it lately, thank you for always taking my calls when I'm feeling down in the dumps. There are days I wouldn't have done very well without you, Tina.
Aww.
So I want to make sure that I
said
that. Aww. So I've got to ask the question. Is there anything else new that you're working on that you can talk about? Or is it all top secret at the moment?
No, I'm not big on top secret. I mean, well, sometimes I am, I guess. I have a bunch of... Actually, I have a new yarn that we're just putting up this week. I've been trying to put it up for a couple weeks now, but life keeps intervening. I've been wanting to for a while. The Pacific Northwest is just rich in fiber. We have tons of people raising all kinds of sheep, and I've been wanting to work more with ranchers and the people who are raising the wool and making yarn, like a specific Pacific Northwest flavored aspect to what Blue Moon sells. And I met Jeannie Carver of Imperial Stock Ranch a couple years ago, and we have a thing for each other, and I love what they do. And she and I both have been trying to figure out how to work together. And recently I had the opportunity to buy some of her yarn, and so I have a small first run of a really beautiful 2-ply that comes to us as a gray heather, and then we dye it, which gives the color just so much richness, just so much so many levels of shading. And so we're starting there, and that it's called Rustica, and that goes it's actually up on the website right now. We just put it up. So I'm pretty excited about that because that's a first step into something that I've been wanting to do for a while. I mean, our next step is there are a couple of ranchers here that are raising Lincolns. And so I'm going to buy a bunch of their Lincoln wool and make some yarn, which I'm pretty excited about. So I love the Pacific. I love living where I live, and I'm pretty passionate about working within this system. I actually think that Portland would be a great place for a mill, but that's another story for another day. I need to get through chemo first.
Yeah, you do. As soon as chemo's done, you know, I'll come out. We'll break ground for a meal. How about that? Okay.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
I'll come help you. You don't want me. You want my son. He's the handy one. I'll just mess everything up. But, you know, I can pour drinks at the end of the day, so I can be useful still.
That works.
There we go.
That works. So I also have Targi. I have another yarn that I'm really excited about. It's Targi, which is Montana wool that is U.S. milled and raised. And I'm actually knitting with we have Targi worsted and Targi bulky, and I'm making a little Christmas present for a friend out of the Targi bulky, and it's all I wanted it with. It's just, it has a great hand. It's just beautiful. It takes dye really well, and I'm thrilled with it. We also have a design out by Carol Feller called Landscape Waves. It uses the Targi worsted. It's in the, we have an ad in the new, the winter issue of the Twist Collective that highlights that sweater. It's a gorgeous sweater. So it's like, I definitely, if I didn't have chemo brain, I would knit that, but that's a little more complicated than I could handle right now. So, yeah, so we do. We actually have a fair amount of new yarns I'm pretty excited about.
Well, very cool. Very cool. So, you know, besides when you're all through chemo and you've done everything you do, what's next on your wish list? Is it the mill? Is that really what you're going to do once that's all over? Maybe travel a little bit?
Probably travel a little bit for a while. I have children who travel, and they've been wanting me to go with them. So, and we all want to go. I'm Scottish, heavily Scottish and Irish descent, and so we all want to go spend some time in Scotland, which of course, wool.
So, right.
Yeah. So. But I'm sure they will limit me to that one, but
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, you can't bring it all back with you, Tina. You just can't. it's going to be tempting, but you know.
It's okay. So we'll have a blue moon annex in Scotland.
There you go.
There you go.
That's great. That's great. All right. Well, we're coming down here close to the end of the show, and I wanted to make sure to ask, do you have any shout outs you'd like to make to anyone while we're on the air today?
Hi, Anna. I always like to say hi to Anna. I guess, I don't know. I don't think so. Shout outs. Just mostly to knitters. Like, thank you. Like, thank you for letting me have my job. Whether you're a designer or whatever, like, thank you.
That's very gracious.
That's my job. So thank you for supporting Blue Moon and letting us send you yarn.
Very, very cool. Very nicely done. All right, so last question. I give all my guests fair warning. I gave you fair warning. Do you have any words of advice that you'd like to pass along to the Fiber Hooligan audience today before we slide on out of here? And it could be anything. It could be to the end consumer, budding young designers. I'll let you decide what you want to say and to who.
Well, first, if you're going to liberate a fire truck, make sure your friend knows which button is the siren. Is it?
That's good advice.
Number one.
That's great advice.
And number two is there are no bad colors. There are no wrong colors. There are colors that maybe shouldn't be put together. There are colors that you might not be comfortable with yet, but are just waiting for you to be comfortable with. There are colors, you know, that you might put on your walls that you wouldn't put on your body, you know, but no bad colors.
I tend to think that you're right about that. There is no such thing as an ugly color. I think there are ugly color combinations, to be honest, though. I think that might be the case.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I've made a few.
Well, and if you look at what I do, my daughter always is telling me I have no eye for color whatsoever. So we won't get into that. You and she are artists. I'm not. So
I bet you have more of an eye for color than you think you do.
You'd be surprised just how terrible my sensibilities are, or how safe my sensibilities are. Really? No, really. You know, and, you know, I've got an eye that's good enough to know when something isn't good. And that's my reaction whenever I try to get artistic. That's not good. And this is not me being overly hard on myself. It's just I don't, because I can also see it when it is good. And yeah, I'm just not an artist, Tina. I've always wanted to be, but that's just not who I am. And that's okay. The world has room for us non-artists out there too. And frankly, there's more of us than you artists. So we're winning. No, I'm just kidding.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I wanted to
send you a paint box.
A paint box. Oh, like yeah. We have lots of art supplies here, but okay. Well, it's fine. I will play and I will take little Instagram pictures and send them to you. So
okay. So the next time I teach dyeing out here, you're coming.
Okay. I got to get out there anyway. It's been forever since I've seen you in person.
I know. It's been a while.
It really has been. And I don't like it. So I got to come out and break ground on your mill anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. So I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show and just thank you for being you. There are lots of times where you don't know how much your sage counsel is meant to me. And
I wish my kids were here to hear this.
I'll burn the show on CD and send it to them or something like that. But, you know, I want to thank you for being so gracious with your time and being so interesting too. And, keep being the classy, wonderful lady that you are. It's
thank you, Benjamin. It's
pretty amazing who you are. So I will wish you
a
glorious weekend. You have a great day.
Thank you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Tina Newton from Blue Moon Fiber Arts, someone who I consider to be one of the smartest and sweetest people within the industry. You can keep up with what Tina is doing at bluemoonfiberarts.com. And that's one you're going to want to bookmark. Okay, you know what time it is.
And now it's time for State of the Hooligan with Tammy Burke.
I'd like to welcome back host of State of the Hooligan, moderator of R Fiber Hooligans Ravelry Group, and administrator of R Fiber Hooligans Facebook page to tell us all what's new and cool in the fiber arts world, our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow fiber hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again today from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. Happy Monday. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
We're doing all right.
Just all right?
Yeah, it's the middle of December. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. December's just rolling by fast.
It's hard to believe that we're almost at the end of the year and into next year. I'm filling out my calendar. How about you? Filling out the calendar for the next few months and the new calendar?
Well, I haven't gotten the new calendar yet. Usually that's a Christmas present.
Ah, I see.
And so I haven't gotten my calendar yet, but it's okay. I've got a digital calendar, so then, you know, that no one has to buy me that. And so, yeah, I am trying to, you know, put things in place and, you know, get things kind of prepared and all planned. And so it's it is what it is. The other day I got kind of freaked out again because somebody was talking about running to the mall to do some Christmas shopping, and I just kind of cringed and said, "Oh, please don't make me run to the mall." You know. You know, I've got three other drivers in the house. Just please, I'll do anything. I'll shovel the snow. I'll clean up the backyard. I'll just don't make me go to the mall, please. And folks that are, you know, vendors in the mall, I mean no disrespect, but I really do believe that Dante intended, you know, if he had been alive today, the mall would have been one of the circles of hell. I really do. I just don't like the mall. It's so busy And it's funny how I just don't believe that this kind of shopping time brings out the best in people. I know that's really pessimistic.
But here's a piece of cringeworthy news for you then. My step-granddaughter, my husband's granddaughter, is an ambassador for her little town and was just last night at the Mall of, or, okay, so last week by the time this airs, was at the Mall of America as an ambassador for her pageant things. And I've never been to the Mall of America, but I'm thinking, you know, that must have been really exciting. I would have liked to have seen her, but I'm glad I wasn't there.
You know, I've the Mall of America is big. The, you know, before the Mall of America was the largest mall in the world, the biggest mall was the West Edmonton Mall in Canada, and I of course have been there. I don't go for the shopping. I go because there's usually an amusement park and other kinds of things like that. I mean,
yes.
the West Edmonton Mall is great because they had their own little submarines, and they had four submarines that you could actually get, and they were on tracks, but they were actually full-fledged submarines. And I always thought it was great because the West Edmonton Mall had four submarines, which just happened to be one more than the Canadian Navy has. I always thought that was a lot of fun.
Wow.
I've been to the Mall of America, and there's a couple places I go. Like, you know, I go to the Bose shop. That's great. I go to the Apple store because that's always a fun experience. But then mostly, you know, I try to stay in the amusement park area with the little kids. And my kids are now old enough that they really don't love the rides anymore. So it's one less reason to go to the mall. And again, nothing wrong with the Mall of America. It's just I'm not a mall guy. I prefer small, funky, quirky, small businesses that have their own unique style, and
that may be why that we're such good buddies, though, because the mall doesn't do any. The thought of going to the mall doesn't do anything good for me either.
Right, right. About the only thing that's a draw is it's the only place I can get an orange Julius, and I love orange Juliuses.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, but otherwise, you know, December's rolling along. Christmas is coming up. I'm behind on my shopping like everybody else is. And yeah, it's okay. And you know, at the risk of jinxing myself, it's been pretty moderate here. You know, it's not been awful. So let's hope for that as an ongoing trend. How the weather's been good or bad there?
Raining at the moment, but we've had some wind. We get a lot of our weather, believe it or not, from Northern California.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, most good, you know, I'm a big fan of Northern California, as you know, but
I am too, yeah. But you know, so when they're experiencing a lot of wet weather lately, which is a good thing for them, it ends up here, you know, almost direct delivery. Last summer when we were having, when Northern California was having a lot of the fires and things that everybody was so worried about, we had a lot of smoke in our area from there, they said, on the weather. Very interesting. So I'm hoping everybody's like you, got things are pretty much under control and just going with it, going with the flow.
Let's hope it's a moderate winter and that, you know, we don't get the nasty things that we had last year that were so problematic for so many people in the country. You know, it's kind of funny. My wife is from Canada, so whenever we have anything that's bad as far as weather, I tend to just like to blame the Canadians, you know, that it came from Canada, just to watch her get wound up, because that's really my job as a husband, to wind her up whenever possible.
There you go.
There I go. Right. Okay.
We had a little girl last night at knit group that was probably, I'd say, between 8 and 10 crocheting. She sat right next to me, and she told me about how she just moved down here from Alaska like 5 months ago. And I'm saying, so you think we're all whining about the cold, don't you? And she kind of looked at me like, yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, it's a different world up there. Absolutely, I've never been to Alaska, but it's on my bucket list. I got to get to Alaska. And
she's from Anchorage, so it was really nice to get to meet Emma.
Emma. Well, we'll give a quick shout out to Emma from Anchorage. So, Emma, if you're listening, you're a podcast star now. All right. Well, let's get right into this. I always look forward to your report. What do you have for us this week?
Coming in January, we've got some things that knitters like to pay attention to, and I thought we would feature more knitting in television, I guess. Two programs starting in January. Downton Abbey on PBS should start airing the first Sunday, I believe it is. And the Downton Abbey magazine from Interweave, I think this was the second issue they just had this fall. I hope everybody's got their Downton Abbey knits ready to go and wear. I know that Jimmy Bean's Wool is doing a knit along again, and they've got some fantastic new colors featuring one of the that are based on the life of one of the characters in there. So, and they're really pretty. So hopefully you're seeing that and getting set up to participate in their knit along. Last year's knit along, and I'm thinking that this year is going to go the same way. I've not gotten the particulars yet, but I'm assuming it will be the similar setup. And what that was they based each clue on something that happened during the episode. So the next part was you have to pay attention to the show, and then you'll know what you're supposed to be knitting for the next so much of your shawl. So that was kind of interesting because you might be able to tell who didn't watch that week. And then the other show that's, from what I understand, it doesn't come up on my television, but from what I understand, Outlander should have new episodes in January.
Now, Outlander is this huge phenomenon. And of course, you know, you and I both know that our mutual friend and somebody you do work with, a lot of work with, Marley Bird, is a huge Outlander fan.
Marley is such a huge fan of Outlander. She's actually done some patterns based on the show. So,
right. I remember I heard the story. I think she was with Pam Hashke, and they actually got to meet the author.
Diana. No, I'm going to mess it up. Galbaldon?
Yeah, yes. We'll go with your pronunciation because I'll mess it up. But yeah, it's and of course she had.
Let's just go with that.
Right, and she had her on her podcast, which was pretty exciting too.
And yes, it's very exciting, and you can tell how enthusiastic Marley is, as well as everybody else that's read the books. I've just started reading it myself. There's 8 books in the series. My Own Heart's Blood, I think, just came out last spring. That was when Marley and Pam actually got to meet DG. And but there's so many patterns inspired by the show. Even Ann Burke, our wonderful Intarsia instructor, Ann has socks, Argyle socks based on the Outlander show. And both Marley's patterns and Ann Burke's wonderful Argyle socks are they're available and using yarn from Bijou Basin Ranch. They have wonderful colorways based on the program too. So
right, they're called Outlandish, right?
Yes.
Right. I mean, as I understand it, the colorways that are based on the show from Bijou Basin Ranch are called Outlandish, and they're very pretty. I've seen them online.
Yes. So as much as you love it, you can get into it even more. Thank you, Bijou Basin Ranch and these designers with the wonderful patterns inspired by the show.
So there you have it, folks. You're not blobbing out in front of the tube and being, you know, a TV addict. You're participating in the world of knitting. That's how you have to look at that. It's guilt-free television watching, right?
That's right.
There we go. I like that. That's very good. Now, these are big phenomenons, and I'm glad that the knitting world, not just the crochet and knitting world, but the fiber world, is hooking into those things for value added excitement. I mean, we've seen this with a lot of different shows and Doctor Who and you name it. But these are pretty big things. And I have never seen a full episode of Outlander, but I have seen a couple of episodes of Downton Abbey, and I'm kind of a fan. I just haven't gotten back to get through them all. So I got to do that because I really kind of did enjoy it.
I really enjoy it too. Not just, I know it's really dramatic and people are into it for various reasons. I think the thing that I like about Downton Abbey is that we get a look, they are so fantastically, wonderfully addicted to getting the accuracy of the costumes, the scenery, the mood of the time period. You know, they've dealt with racism, they've dealt with women's rights. I hate to say it, but they've had to deal with the rape of one of my favorite characters. And that storyline is going to have to be continued on into the next season. I mean, these are all hot topics now. And it just shows that we repeat history, I think, too, a little bit. I just really identify with it because of what's going on today. But then watching the costumes go by is just something else.
Yeah. Well, and it's such good writing. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine. One of my favorite shows that's just about to end is called The Newsroom. It's an Aaron Sorkin show. And
yes,
it's just last episode coming up. And I'm just, I'm just beside myself. And I keep thinking, if we had gotten a little bit of knitting co-marketing going in there, would Aaron Sorkin have kept writing for maybe another season or two? I don't know, but it's just worth throwing out there, folks. There should have been
more knitting. You should have wrote him an email.
I should have, because, you know, Aaron Sorkin always takes my calls and emails. So
there you go.
But yeah. But, you know, anyway, okay, well, that's very cool. You got anything else for us this week?
Not this week. Well, that was just so exciting for me. That was all I could bear to share.
Oh, that's fine. Well, you know, thank you for another great segment, Tammy, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Thank you, Benjamin.
That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan and admin of Our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page and moderator of Our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us in one of our groups. Tammy does such a great job of making sure we answer questions and find links and follow up to anything you may have heard on the show. Next week, my guests will be Beth Casey from Lorna's Laces and Dave Van Stralen from Luette North America. I'm going to have these two wonderfully talented industry professionals on to talk about TNNA, and not just the shows, but the organization itself. TNNA is one of those things that is kind of the backbone of the fiber arts industry, and we've talked about them before, but we really haven't done a good job of explaining its place and everything that goes on. Of course, we have a brand new show coming up in January in Phoenix, and so we're going to give you a preview of that. But on top of that, we hope to explore the organization of TNNA itself. Beth and Dave are very knowledgeable and both very engaging, so I hope you'll join us next week for what I know will be a very informative and interesting show. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. And that includes suggestions for guests or cool things you'd like Tammy to talk about in her segment. If you want to email Tammy directly, you can do so at tammy@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. If you're following us on iTunes, we have moved. You can find us now at fiberhooligan.com/iTunes. And since we're at a new channel up there on iTunes, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave a comment if you like the show. I'd like to thank Prime Publishing and allfreeknitting.com for their sponsorship of Fiber Hooligan. I'd also like to thank my editor, Christine Weir, as well as Simone, Caitlin, Chris, Keith, Stuart, and the rest of the gang at Prime Publishing for all their help. I'd like to thank my guest, Tina Newton, for being the beautiful human being that she is. I'd like to thank Tammy Burke for everything she does on and off the show. And of course, I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. We'll see you next week for another edition of Fiber Hooligans.